Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning to all of God's beloved. This morning, we've got a dynamite message for you. Amen. So listen, as I say every Sunday, there's a lot going on. But you got to remember that God is in control. So with that said, I want to say to each and every one of you, you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Amen. Come on in. Let's get that word today. Let's fellowship today. You know, let's do a little study. Okay, this is your school. This is your hospital. Bring all your problems with you. Let God heal them. Let him in your heart. We always say, let him reign in your mortal bodies. And when he reigns, all the other elements that the enemy brings to you, they scatter. If you just let him in, peace will reign on your inside. If you let these scriptures and that word reign in your mortal bodies, you'll see the enemy and all his cohorts, all his devices, they will scatter. And thank God for the word that it is our healer, our comforter, our counselor, amen, our teacher, and our preacher, amen. So let the word do its work. With that said, are there any praise reports today? Is it something that happened in your life this week that you know it couldn't have been nothing but God to bring it through? Then come on, let us have it. Let us shout right along with you. Amen.
Good morning. I have one.
Amen. Come on.
Yes, so the baby girl Destiny graduated from high school and is attending college in the fall.
Amen.
Don't stop there. Just keep going, and that's good. Oh, it couldn't have been nothing but God to bring it through. Does anyone need prayer this morning? Use your messenger and send a prayer request. And I'm talking about the messenger inside of Zoom. Amen. But we're going to keep it moving. Let's get together and pray right now as a community. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day today. We thank you for the breath of life today. We thank you for the tree of life, which is the word of God, Lord. We thank you that it is here to provide all of our needs, Father, in heaven and in the earth. We pray for those that had it not, Father, and those that are seeking, the sick, the shut-in, the homeless, the hungry, the elderly, the widow, the little children, Father. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name, they too be abundantly supplied. Amen. We also pray, Father, for each and every person that hears this message, that they receive the wisdom that you have for them, and it touches their heart, and that it causes them to make changes in their lives. We thank you for this day and for all that is within it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen and amen. Now, we're going to get right into our message today. We've got a lot to unpack today, so I want you all to be ready, buckle up, let's go. Amen. Now, the title of our lesson today is The Paradox of Free Will. I repeat, the paradox of free will. Now, a paradox is a conflict between what I want and what God wants. Therein lies the conflict. Now, beloved, today we gather to explore a profound and often misunderstood gift from God, our free will. Amen. Now, free will that sometimes challenges divine orders. Free will always, or will always allow us to choose our own path. Example, to love, to obey, or to rebel. And remember, if you rebel, you want to do it before judgment comes on the scene. You want to repent and get right back in line. Amen. Do it consciously. And don't do it over and over again, because, you know, you can't play with God. He sees and knows everything. But with this incredible gift comes great responsibility. We examine how free will has, at times, led humanity and celestial beings into conflict with God's divine orders. Amen. Now, the gift of free will is our next section, because free will is foundational to our relationship with God. Our reference scripture today is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. And the seed does not only refer to your children. Most importantly, you know it does, but it refers to the things that we plant in the earth so that we may reap a harvest. Now, God's desire to us to choose him, to choose life, but also to respect our ability to choose otherwise. Now, number two today is we're going to talk about the watchers. Now, the watchers were assigned by God to watch over us. And it's found in the book of Enoch. It's not in the Bible, so you have to have a book of Enoch. You can look for it online, and there are some places that you can get it for free and read it. And there are three different books on Enoch. Number one, okay, that's what we'll be going through today. It says, let us turn our attention to the watchers. Now, these were heavenly creatures that God assigned to watch over mankind. And as we describe them in the book of Enoch, these were divine beings tasked with observing humanity. They were created for a purpose to monitor human behavior and to maintain divine order. Pay attention. However, they exercise their free will in ways that strayed from God's original intentions. Now, number one, we can talk about monitoring versus intervening. Initially, they were to observe humanity, the watchers, but they chose to intervene against divine orders. In 1 Enoch chapter 7 and verse 1, this is how it reads. I'm trying to give you some foundation so that you may understand more about what happened. It reads, all the others with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments and cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. And we're not talking about the daisies and the roses in the front yard. We're talking about witchcraft and divination. That's what they taught them, on how to use and cast spells and these and things using roots, okay, and other plants. Their free will and desire to experience humanity and to live like the human led them to cross boundaries that were set up by God. Number two, the consequences of their choices. The watchers' actions brought about significant consequences against them. We see God's displeasure and the resulting judgment from their free will thinking. In Enoch, our first Enoch, chapter 10, verse 8 through 9, this is how it reads. And when you watch this episode on the app, I will have these scriptures on the screen. Verse 8 says, the whole earth has been corrupted through the works that were taught by Azazel. To him ascribe all sin. Verse 9 says, and to Gabriel said the Lord, proceed against the bastards and the reprobates. And bastards means a person without a father. A person doesn't know his father. So here we're talking about they don't know their father, God. That's why they were called bastards. They left the estate that God had planned for them. And so they became reprobates and against the children of fornication and destroyed the children of fornication. What he's saying here is he was talking to Gabriel and he said, Lord, this is what you want me to do. He says, yes. He says, proceed against the bastards and the reprobates and against the children of fornication. These are the children that came from the fornication, okay? And destroy the children of fornication and the children of the watchers from amongst men, and cause them to go forth. This is what his command was. Send them one against the other, that they may destroy each other in battle. For the length of days shall they not have, which means that we're not going to live long by God's commandment. That was part of the judgment. Now, the free will led to their downfall and corruption of mankind, because they start devouring and killing mankind and doing all sorts of things on the earth. And God said that their state would not be in heaven. And what was so upsetting about it is that God gave the watchers the estate of heaven, and they were spirit beings, and they had eternal life automatically. So they would go and live throughout all generations, being the watchers. Now, let's talk about somebody else that, left their estate and went over and did some things with free will thinking. Adam and Eve, the first humans to transgress. Now, just as the watchers chose to act against God's will, we will see a similar pattern in the story of Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God gives Adam clear instructions regarding the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yet in Genesis chapter 3 and 6, now let me make this clear. He didn't say it to Eve, but Adam told Eve what God's instructions were. But in chapter 3, in verse 6, Eve, influenced by the serpent, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband to eat also, and he did eat. Now, the temptation, free will allow them to make a choice, but their choice to pursue being like God, knowing good and evil, and that God was keeping them back from being like God. This is what their understanding was, okay? That he was trying to keep them from pursuing God, and that he was trying to keep this from them, hiding it from them. So the serpent created enough doubt and desire in their hearts to take a higher position rather than obedience to God and staying where they were. They were already had dominion over all the earth, named all the animals on the earth, and everything on the earth was named by Adam. Now, number two, the fall and its aftermath. Their decision led to spiritual and physical separation. Separation from God. Genesis 3 and 22 through 24. This is how it reads. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, pay attention, and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So what he was saying is, no, we cannot allow this, because now they have transgressed and some other things have come into their framework, you see. So now it would be a shame for them to turn around and eat from the tree of life and live forever with these other things going on the inside of them. Because when they did that, they went and hid, you see. So they felt guilt and shame for the first time. And they saw through a different set of eyes for them to feel guilt and shame. Now, verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. That means from the earth. Verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way as it was swinging to keep the way of the tree of life, or to keep them from the tree of life. The consequences of their free will choice echoes throughout all generations, means that we are still paying for their sins. Yet there is hope and redemption. A hope for redemption. Bring it home, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Number four, recovering from the consequences of our choices. So how do we recover from our free will? that led us astray or that leads us astray? How do we navigate the consequences of our choices, whether celestial or human beings alike? Okay? Because they also have free will, the angels, the ministering spirits, okay, the celestial beings. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Amen. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So that's the paradox right there. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And then it says in the commandments, it says in the law of God, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. That's the confusion that it brings. Verse 18 says, "But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Pay attention to this. What it's telling you is that if you follow the Spirit, then you're of the Spirit. But if you don't follow the Spirit, you revert back to the law. Now, what do I mean by that? The law, we talk about the Mosaic law. And when Jesus came, it said that the law was our schoolmaster that was teaching and keeping us in place until Christ came. But when Christ came, we were no longer under the law. We were under the Spirit. So what this is telling you, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There are 613 laws under the Mosaic covenant. Okay? In Romans 8 and 26, this is what it says. And I want you to pay attention, because this is if you're in the Spirit. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, but the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So when we think about things in our hearts, as long as we're walking in righteousness and we don't do it or we don't say it, guess what? Don't guess, read it. The Spirit intercedes on our behalf. When we have things in our heart doing prayer, but we don't say them, what did it say? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Amen? You know what that is, most believers. All right? Praying in the tongue. Now, forgiveness and repentance for this first step in our, I guess, redemption, it calls for us to acknowledge our transgressions, our sins before God. Acknowledge them. In 1 John 1 and 9, it says, "We are reminded, if we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." For God's grace is always available to those who seek him, and this is the key word, sincerely. Amen. If we do that, we move from under judgment. We want to do this before judgment comes on the scene. And let me explain a little bit about judgment. A lot of people say, "Oh, that's God that's coming against me." No, God already set these laws, just like the air is, just like the sun All of these things are already set in place. And when you violate them over and over again, then judgment automatically comes in the scene because these laws were written into creation. They're there. Like the air, the water, the sun, the moon, the laws of God. But if you stay with the Spirit and follow the Spirit, that means you have to submit to God. I'm trying to finish this lesson, but so much other things are coming out because a lot of us don't know what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is submitting to God, inviting the Holy Spirit into your life and speaking the word all day. Lord, what am I gonna do about this? What am I gonna do about that? That's what you call resting in his peace, because he knows what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be. From the foundations of the world, you were already created. Everything you were supposed to do was already created. So now you have to walk the pathway. But the only one who knows that pathway, come on, Holy Spirit, talk to him. I know this is reaching and touching somebody who does not know this. And those who do, but do not obey them, then you fall down or revert back to the law when you don't follow the Spirit. And there are 613 laws you cannot possibly remember. 613 laws. So you violate the law in many ways, sometimes without you even knowing it. And then you are subject to the judgment that comes through the law. Now, they're not going to come up and stone you or set you on fire or throw you out of the village. But the other points of judgment will come on the scene in different ways. See, this is a new time. We're not in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament, but judgment still responds. Amen. Now, my next statement, turn back to God. In James 4, 7 through 8, we find encouragement in the scriptures. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We must actively choose to return to God and seek to align ourselves with his guidance, his will, and his way. Choose righteousness. In Romans 6 and 13, Paul exhorts us. Do not present your members to sin. That's talking about your nose, your ears, your hands, your fingers, your feet. You know, walking into unrighteousness, using your hands to do unrighteousness, looking and opening your mouth and speaking all kind of gossip and everything about other people. That's using your members for unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And I don't want to ask the question today, but I'm going to present it anyway. Some of you know that you're not even supposed to be here today. You know you're supposed to be dead. Amen. We call it taking a dirt nap. But God saw fit to save your life and keep you here for his benefit and for his glory. Now, how many of you are following through with God's gift of life, God's gift of the right choice? Choose life. Amen. Now, my conclusion to this lesson today is, my dear friends and brothers and sisters, free will is a powerful gift that can lead us to profound blessings or painful consequences. Judgment on the scene. The watchers, Adam and Eve, and let us not forget ourselves. Remind us of the dangers of misusing God's gift. Yet, through repentance and a sincere return to God can recover us from our mistakes. Amen. Our missteps. Let us choose wisely. Embracing our free will and gift from God to glorify God and live in alignment with his divine orders for each and every one of our lives. And don't forget purpose. He has a reason for you that God explains and sets for you to do. The Holy Spirit will let you know. May you always choose life, love, and obedience to Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. Thank you for this time. Right now, we just call this space worship. And I pray that they hear your voice, Lord, on the inside. That their imaginations went to work during this message and showed them the error of their ways, or show them how to do certain things that they need to do in order to walk in divine order. We thank you for your word and your will, your purpose. And we thank you for the gift that you gave us of free will. Let us take that free will and give it right back to you, Lord, that we may know what the things are that you want us to do while we walk on this earth. For we know that you want us, Father, to be in righteousness, to be in prosperity, to be raising our children in the admonition of the Lord and doing the things that you want us to do, that others may see God's good work, and that we glorify him with our bodies and our members, and everything that we have goes to him. We thank you for all things, Lord, today. Things in heaven and things in the earth. And we invite the Holy Spirit in all the day long. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. This joy that I have, give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away.